Mom? What are you doing here in the middle of the night?
You're just in time for supper, dear.
You're not my mother. My mother doesn't have
buttons? Do you like them? I'm your other mother, silly. Now go tell your other father that supper's ready. Well, go on.
He's in his study.
I'm David. We watch a horror movie this week. It's called Something. I will start.
Don't be even stop it. Let's do this right, because we're professionals. Right?
What? Don't let the tie fool you.
This week, Douglas asked us all, including Damien, to watch a horror movie. This movie is Australian, and it's called The Babadook.
No, it is Babadook.
Where'd you get this?
On the shelf.
If it's in a word or it's in a look, you can't get rid of the Babadook. A rumbling sound, then three sharp knocks.
Babadook, duck, duck.
That's when you'll know he's around. You'll see him if you look. Nothing bad's gonna happen, Sam.
Did he think that about my dad before he died?
He sees things as they are, that one.
I promised to protect you if you promised to protect me.
Oh my God. Did he hurt anyone?
The boy has significant behavioral problems.
This monster thing has got to stop, all right? It's just a book.
Douglas, kick us off before Damien takes us into his depression.
All right, so as Andrew said...
I love movies.
As Damien said, this is a horror movie, it's Australian...
I didn't say it was Australian.
I combined both of...
Where anyway, the movie's from, so nothing to do with how good the movie is.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Doesn't matter if you're black or white. I've been listening to Michael Jackson albums recently because it's on the KXP list. I'm happy for like a week. But then I think a Bob Dylan album is in my future. I'm going to start crying.
Oh, I love Bob Dylan. No, come on. But yeah, so this movie is about a lady and her son, and her son is just the worst. Right?
Oh,
and the thing about this movie, I'm honestly not sure where I kind of fall on this movie.
So, I can't tell you.
Anyway, so let me at least give you the premise. So it's about a lady and her son, and for some reason, a children's book somehow shows up on his shelf, and he says, "You know, mommy, I like the look of this book. Will you read it to me, please?"
Very much like a Douglas. That's kind of like Douglas said movies.
Yeah.
He's like, I like how this cover looks. Yeah, let's all watch this movie.
Yeah,
this looks like a movie.
Pretty much. And so we end up getting into an Evil Dead situation where reading the book is probably not the best scenario, right? Probably not the best thing she could have done, because guess what? It brings the rain, the wrath of hell or whatever, right? Some monster now has taken over their home. And that's kind of where this movie goes. This movie is... So a lot of people out there love this movie, right? And I saw the trailer and I was really looking forward to this movie. I had very high expectations for this movie.
I'm sorry.
but honestly, when I watch it, I'm not sure where I fall on. Because I watch it and... I see the good points, right? But there are, for instance, right? I feel like the first 10 to 15 minutes are just so good that I hate it, right? And let me explain this, right? So the first 10 to 15 minutes, I think, are to set up the premise of this woman's son is the worst. And, you know, you are supposed to empathize with her if she ever, for any reason, wants to kill him, right? And guess what? It worked real well. I hated that guy. And every time he spoke, I was just like, no, I don't want to watch this movie anymore because you are the worst. Which is probably exactly what they were going for. So this boy, you know, creates his own homemade weapons involving darts and cricket balls and pulleys and all sorts of crazy. I honestly think as much as this guy, this boy is crazy, he is also some sort of like idiot savant, some sort of genius, because for you to somehow, without any parental assistance, make weapons as intricate as his, that requires some serious skill, right? So I think we have to put that on the table, and we'll have to give him some props. But my God, anytime he opened his mouth, it was so bad to the point where it took me out of the movie. I literally, for the first 15 minutes, I was like, whoa, can we just press stop? But, you know, as the movie went on and on, there were more, you know, good things about the movie. I really liked kind of the feel of the movie. The monster was real cool, right? And the way that, you know, they made it move. And even in the end, I thought they were going to approach it a little bit differently, but they didn't. And that was kind of neat. That's kind of cool. I like that. And, you know, the thing about this movie is along the way, if you kind of pick up on certain subtleties, which you could or couldn't, depending on what you want to see when you're watching the movie, you could actually say to yourself, boy, is this really happening? Could this be just, you know, a crazy mother who lost her husband and has finally broken because her child is the worst? And then you start to think, actually, I wonder if her child really is the worst, or is she making all of this up? Because there are certain things in here that could be put down to her just being batshit crazy, right? But all in all, I think this is one of those movies where I think I kind of like it. I definitely want to give it a second watch. And even if it turns out that I don't like it, it's definitely good craft. It's good. It's a good solid film as far as I can see. But I know Damien hates this movie. And I see Andrew looking like he's covering his mouth, like he doesn't want to tell me that I'm an idiot. Right, so Andrew, I want to hear from you because we already know what Damien's going to say.
Tapping in, Damien.
Oh,
hi.
No.
Hi. Hi, I'm Damien, I guess. My views on horror movies have been detailed several times.
I think I'm suffering from memory loss. Right. Can you please refresh? You know, this is like the first minute of Walking Dead. Last week on horror, Daniel's horror discussion.
So, in previous horror discussions, I've come out slightly to the dislike portion. Horror movies are dumb. They're dumb because my brain refuses to accept them. It is one of the instances where I use logic to essentially fight fear. I cannot be afraid because the entire time my brain goes, this is stupid. It is not, I've had even people come on this podcast and say it's because I'm afraid to be afraid, which doesn't make any sense.
But you are.
Sure. Subconsciously, maybe it
your
is the thing.
My fear of fear,
my
is,
fear,
stopping
of fear
from
is
being
stopping
afraid.
Me from being. All right.
Makes sense.
I'm not going to talk about this movie because it's terrible. The thing is, the lead actress, she's spectacular in this.
Yeah.
They put her through the ringer. You believe every emotion she has, even though I don't believe a single thing that is happening on the screen. My question to you is, or some shit, I have no idea.
Okay, if we're going to go into that detail,
no one
sure.
is going to watch it. You know if you're going to watch this movie because it's a horror movie.
I don't think...
Spoilers... It's a movie about a mother and a child. There's nothing different or special about this one. At least not for me, based on the horror movies I've seen. All of them essentially merge into one, unless it's torture porn and nonsense, which shouldn't even be called horror at this point. That is not shenanigans.
So Damien, first of all, she wrote the book. Okay. She created the book.
She's the mother. So she wrote the book.
Yeah.
And then the book came to life.
The book never came to life. She's batshit fucking crazy.
All right.
She is. Right?
I will accept some of that. Except none of it based on what happens on the screen.
All right. Now let me tell you why I think that. Let me tell you why. And I could easily be wrong because, as I said, I'm not necessarily going on exactly.
If you can convince me that that is what is happening, I'll go from this is a terrible horror movie to actually liking this movie.
Right. You can't see from the first because all that happens is there's this book on the shelf, right? Mm-hmm. Fine.
Right.
But there's a point in the movie, right, where she realizes, holy crap, this monster might be for real, and she tears up all of the pages. Throws the book away in the garbage and she's like, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
Then one day, a couple of days later, she finds the book again in like her living room or wherever
she
it was.
Found the book again.
And
it was outside the door.
Okay, wherever it was, I can't remember right this second.
Then she lit it on fire.
Yeah, but before she lit it on fire, right? She opens the book, it was nicely taped back together and there were more parts of it, right? But if you notice, now the book was like a very grayscale thing and it almost looked hand done, right? Like somebody had taken black chalk and like did sketches on it, right? If you notice throughout the time of her finding the book, taking some call on the phone and going to the police, her hands were darkened with chalk. I'm pretty sure she was the one that taped it together when she clearly was like on some sort of blackout and then drew in the rest of the pages that were new. That's what I think, right? And so I think that I think that she did that, and that a lot of, you know, if you think about it, a lot of this monster foolishness could easily just be her, right? You know, she has a son who is already kind of weird.
There's a scene with steps and a little boy being flung against a wall repeatedly. And a little boy crying while hugging his mother.
So this is where first of all we have to take a moment and
both of them are crazy.
Not both of them, but ask who is telling us this story.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Shit is not she.
It's not her story. From my point of view, it is her telling the story.
Right.
Everything is kind of from her perspective.
Except when it's from the son's perspective.
When is it from the son's perspective?
When the son. Like all the crazy shit that happens to the son
is what you're seeing through her eyes.
But then, all the blood, all the him stabbing her and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure, he stabs her because she's about to fucking kill him, right? I'm sorry.
But all the
and he buys
so,
into
so,
it.
All right, hold on. I don't think I went as far as Douglas with this movie. In the way he interpreted it, but. Let me ask you this, Damien. Based on what you were seeing with the movie, does it change at all when you stop looking at it as like a regular run-of-the-mill monster horror movie and more of a psychological discussion of what's going on with this woman post her husband's death? And the fact that, once again, we have a horrible child. Yeah. Kind of like in the way of talk about Kevin and Rosemary's Baby, where like this child is like... We have her broken between these two planes where she wants to be a mother and loving of her child and the child's a fucking asshole.
Right. So
and you already talk about the performance, which we already know.
Yeah. So if the movie had been explicit about she is losing her goddamn mind, right? And took out like if there was some third party that could verify that all of this is in her head, right? Then I'd go, she has lost it. But then it still follows all the horror tropes. Like, my problem with it is that the movie still follows all the horror movie tropes. Like, if she's losing her mind and this thing is coming to kill her, but it is only in her mind, we need other people around her to slowly like back away and like call it. Like the movie can't end or it ends.
You mean like the school, her sister, the people who come in to check on the son.
That is, but the movie then can't end. It cannot end how the movie ends, right? It can't be, we're one big happy family at the end of the movie. there's no way. There's no way I'm going to accept.
Well, I mean, you could take that as a metaphor, right? Which is what I took it as. Mm-hmm. Of her compartmentalizing her madness, right? And it took a physical form where she probably does actually go down there, right?
So if they did that, then I'd get on board.
Basically, you wanted the movie to change from subjective to objective. Right. For just a second.
Long enough for me to go, oh, she's lost her goddamn madness. But the movie never does that. The movie treats itself like a horror movie. It does,
but I think it does it intentionally. It does it because it wants to play in that world while at the same time having what Douglas and I are talking about.
But then give me something. Give me something.
I think
tangible.
You're just a wayward soul.
And you see, the thing about it, right? And I'll give you this much. I was looking for it because
I just went into this.
No, exactly. You went into it blind, just knowing this is some whatever.
I'm like, oh shit, Douglas picked a horror movie.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And then it's just random horror movie tropes to the end.
I had already known about this movie, and I remember
hearing good things about it from Sundance.
Well, I never heard any good things about it until like last couple of weeks, I think. But I've seen the trailer from before, and I love the trailer. You saw when I was sorry, right? I was in love with it.
Baba,
and I thought it was just going to be a regular horror movie. But I've heard people talk about this movie recently, and that's why I was looking for the craziness because they were like, "Listen, guys, this isn't really just like a monster thing. This is her seriously going crazy." And so maybe that's why I saw into things that perhaps weren't there. But I definitely know the chalk thing was there, and I know I made a huge jump with that. But I think it's a fair jump to make.
Like she saw the hat thing fall through the chimney, and then she ran to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And I just assumed, she was hiding there. Maybe she was doing something with the chimney. Mm-hmm.
And remember, that's the other thing, and why I definitely think it's her. Remember when she's at the party with her sister, right? And all their friends are talking about she should do her work again. What was her work? She used to write children's stories. Mm-hmm. So that's, again, another kind of brick that adds to the building that becomes,
craziness. It's definitely an interesting way to look at it. I didn't think of her as the source of the book. But, yeah, like I think it was mainly because the chalk hand bit, like, I think in my mind that came after she burned the book. So for some reason, like, I had...
Yeah.
Like, she picked up the ashes or something. She was, like, so angry. I wouldn't even tell she was, like, ashes.
If at a certain point in the movie, just said to the audience, all right, just... You want to watch this part where she flips out.
Yeah.
And they had that towards the end. But... It's still, like, at no point did they go, this is only, like, all of this is only her.
That's true. But, you know, I mean, is this just one of those things, does it have to? And you know, maybe it works on both wavelengths, in a sense. I guess,
now that I've heard, your views on it, I'm probably never going to watch it again. If I do, I guess I can watch all of it from that perspective, and maybe we'll take on, but all I saw
was horror.
All I saw was just the typical, there is a ghost, there is a child, the child is clearly the devil, and it is driving the parents/parents crazy. But there's only one parent, so they couldn't have killed both of them. So of course she survives, and the child doesn't die because he can't do that. In this world, if you want people to watch your movies, can't keep children.
You can do it in Australia, though. In South Korea, yes.
Yeah, oh, if this was a South Korean movie, everything else would change.
I mean, right? You know.
That movie would end with her stabbing that child to death.
Waking up.
With other people going, all right. We understand why, but we still have to take you to prison.
Yeah. But so, Andrew, you've kind of been the arbitrator here, but talk to me. What did you think?
I didn't love this movie, but I didn't hate it. And the main reason for it is I think I'm between the two of you, where I love all of the bits you talked about, all of the psychological bits. I love the monster in this movie. It reminds me actually a lot No, I just like the design of it.
Exactly.
Like the visual look of it.
It's
and
great.
The
and the way
it
moves
around.
And the way the claws just come out. And it's fantastic.
There was this one moment, I think it was
Is it really visually just, it's pretty.
I think
that might be the part of the movie.
in
fairness, that is the part of the movie that is a horror. Of course. Every time it came on, this is the dumb. Like if I saw that, and like, I don't start
like
immediately use
right?
it. Right. Like every time she's like, oh, let me touch this thing. Like, no, bitch, leave. That's a wrap. Leave this house. It's over. Nope, I'm going to stay here because I'm a lunatic.
Like, I
and even Somnia doesn't do that to you guys. You can stay for hours and hours and not see anything. Yeah, you just get super duper tired. Then you fall asleep.
Have you done your stats work on this?
Douglas said he saw stars once.
No, I saw purple morphing balloon shapes.
Right.
That's
he was
I
listening
saw.
To Prince and lost his mind. But then he fell asleep and was normal again. I just get super duper tired. And every time I stop to rest somewhere, fading up, time speeds up. I'm going to step here and rest
Extreme.
My hand.
You're
going to rest my hand right here. And oh, look at all this. Probably should get some sleep.
What was that?
No,
you were talking about how you saw the things that I saw or some
right.
of them,
so, like,
and
the
you
monster,
liked the monster.
So like, the monster, I think the first time it came on screen, like, it looked almost like frame skipping, where it would move from point A to point B, but you almost felt like you missed a point, whether it was that it moved super fast or this was just the visual messing with me. But I liked it. It reminded me a lot of the monster from Insidious, which is a run-of-the-mill horror movie that I wouldn't ask Damien to watch.
I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Because people said, Damien, this one, every year there's one.
There's one.
It was Insidious 1 year, and they're like, no, Damien, this year is The Conjuring. You have to watch that, because that one is it's not like the normal horror movies. And then I sat there and go, guys are fucking idiots.
But when you saw the monster in that movie, like when you saw it like in the dark, in the back, it felt interesting. Like, it was one of those things where
it felt cliched up and dope. Like, I haven't seen that many horror movies, and I've seen that trope in every. If there is a room and half the room is in darkness, leave your house. There's perfect light right here.
It look good.
And then,
but I'm not
the light disappears.
I'm not talking about like the source of the evil or anything. I'm just talking about like on a visual level.
I guess so.
It
just looks like horror shenanigans.
Damien's like, you don't frighten me.
It's like oil barrels in action movies. You're like, oh, that's going to blow up, isn't it? Aha!
And yet you're okay with that.
And then,
listen, I didn't say no one should like this movie. If you're a fan of horror movies, I guess you'd have no way to judge that. Right? The movies that scared me were movies as a child. Tremors is not a horror movie.
Tremors
is a joke.
Movie, well. Tremors is absolutely
I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
There was things that crawl under the ground and ate people. So of course I wasn't going to leave the veranda. Right? Because I was a child, I was dumb. I didn't know anything.
I'm sorry, I still love that story.
So good. I'm such a...
But at the same time, I felt there were a lot of times, like especially past like the 45-minute mark, when it leaned a little too heavily on some of those horror tropes and like leaned away from the psychological stuff, and it felt like it just kind of dragged for me in certain ways. Like it felt like I had gotten to the point in the movie where I figured out most of what was going on, right, and where the direction it was going, right, like past the point where you get the book the second time and all of those shocking images in there, which I'm kind of like, I want that book, and I want to give that book to like a little cousin.
As many people as you can.
Just children. Just give that book to children. And
I'm
watch. Oh.
This isn't that iPad.
By the way, can I tell you, I love the way that they went through the book the first time when she was reading it. And you know, it's almost like the camera is on the book and you're reading it with her. And she's like, la da 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 da.
And you're like,
and then,
this?
And then slowly but surely, like it starts off, you know, yeah, it's fine. And then it gets a little worse. And then it's like, you hear her stop reading. And you look down.
You're only reading it in your head now.
Yeah,
like you're
she's
like,
just like, no.
And all of those things I loved. But I felt the pacing of it didn't feel perfect enough for me. Like it felt like it took me out of it to a certain effect. at that point, still enjoyed it, and I still would happily recommend this movie to people.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what I told my sister when she came home and saw me watching this movie. It's like, Damien, she said, what movie is this? And I said, this movie is a garbage movie about garbage. That was my review. It's like, and then she's like, what is the name of this movie? I said, it's Babadook. And she, like, she muffled the laugh. Like, and she said, this is a podcast movie, isn't it? Of course, this
is. I like to know a list of the movies which are famously known in your house as podcast movies.
Of course it is.
Like, you're like, that movie you would never watch if it wasn't for the podcast.
Despite all of this.
Like, it turned out the way I almost expected it.
Me too.
Like, it was an interesting watch at the end of the day.
Except
which
for
is
that.
Which is what I look forward to anytime I go into any movie at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I still want all the White House Downs to just give me a warm blanket of fun. Right? But Babadook, so you did well. Not perfect, but well. Damon's just
shaking
his head.
I can't. I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to rectify this. Even Your Next, like, is that a horror movie?
Oh,
it counts. It counts as a people.
How does it count?
Because it, like,
is she the horror?
No, the people coming in are the horror. Just generally, like, that's the way you look at it, right? You can, first of all, let's make this.
Well, before we even talk about this, do you like Your Next?
Yeah.
Okay,
First of all,
it's also
it's
action movies. What that
a movie can be more than one thing.
No, it can't. I disagree. I vote no. Whenever the movie elections come up, I'm going to vote against you.
You're voting no against my referendum.
Nope. That sounds impossible. You can't be more than one thing. You can't have conflicting ideas in your head. That's impossible. I don't like what you're saying.
So that movie is an action movie.
Yes,
but
it is.
Also is a horror movie. If you look at it of the perspective of, like, how frightening it would be to have people just invade your house and come and attack you.
And then she decides.
It turns into an action movie when she appears into it.
She's like, I'm from Australia, bitches.
Is Kill Bill a horror movie?
No.
It's like the same movie. Right? She, at first, she's like, holy shit, what's happening to me? Can't wiggle my toe. And then she's like, oh, right, these people are trying to kill me. I'm going to murder all of them. That is exactly what happened in Kill Bill. How is Your Next different from that?
Can't wiggle my toe lasted 5 minutes
right.
In a 3-hour movie.
Okay.
Right.
She was terrified that she couldn't wiggle her toe. I was terrified.
And that is a scary moment in life.
Right.
If that 5 minutes
I was afraid,
it would be a horror movie.
I was... Okay. Oh, so it's the minutes. So you have to have X number of minutes before it can
be. You know what? I'm going to end this now because, first of all, we don't have enough minutes for this conversation. And I don't want to do this argument now. You were just a child at play. Now you're all grown up inside of me. Oh, how fast those moments flee. Once we watched a lazy world go by. So moving on.
Yes.
Questions.
Oh, right. We still do that. When's the last time you answered a question?
This is the first time in a while. Because...
You're bad at your job, aren't
you? That too. not many responses to this question. Last week, in conjunction with the film we were talking about, A Teacher, and horrible, horrible monsters in this world, I wanted to know about your favorite movie monsters. And I said specifically in there that people count as well. We're not just talking about the things that go bump in the night, like the Babadook. We're talking about just general monsters. And the internet responded, but it very quietly. Shane McNeil.
The main character from I Saw the Devil. He's number one.
He would be on that list. Shane McNeil responded with The Host, the monster from The Host, the Bong Joon-ho movie.
Oh, that Didn't they make another one with white people?
No, that was terrible.
Yes, but it wasn't. It was like a teenager movie. It was written by the same girl, the same lady that did The Vampire.
The Twilight Lady. I think it was Saoirse Ronan.
The movie Douglas was terrible.
I think you paid like $13.
$0.
No one of us watched it.
Yeah.
But my favorite response comes from a Canadian duo that Douglas and I adore. The Mammal Crew.
The Mammal folks? Oh my.
With Matt Brown replying wonderfully, saying Bearded Matt Price is his monster. And then Matt Price responding, going rawr. I wish he had done an audio clip of it to send to us.
Oh,
I should have emailed him and asked him for it, because I know he would have done
perfect.
It.
Hey, just email him and you can put it in post. Right? Because we've got post on this podcast.
I'll never escape you.
Because we've got the biggest budget ever.
What's our editing budget?
like millions.
14 cents.
That's just what Andrew tells us. Andrew gets all the sweet, sweet podcast
sweet,
money.
Sweet podcast money. From places like Love Film.
Yes, this sponsored for sure.
And Google Ads.
Google Ads.
Alicia Spence's birthday.
Yes, Google does that. If you have a Google contact who has your birthday in it, I think that's great though, but
what I noticed a while ago, which they didn't do until at least this version of the app, is that they now have like the names of the days. Like, you know, if it's Halloween, they put on it as Halloween, Thanksgiving, Veterans Day, and I'm like, oh wow, look at that.
How about Jamaican version?
I think they're also taking what country you're in, so they limit this, they filter those out. No?
Nope.
I've seen Halloween on this. Plus, I don't celebrate Christmas. Sure, I don't. Oh, that must suck.
So, moving on.
All right.
To the upcoming question. Given the Babadook, the film we just talked about, one of the more striking elements of it is the book itself. And books are things which movies have been based on for a long while.
Wanted him to say something so much more dumb.
But more importantly, there are movies out there which kind of have very, very specific books and like memorable books that exist in them for whatever lore that we talk about. Like, this is going to be a very short discussion point, but like, can you name me like books in movies like that kind of stick out to you? That would go beside Babadook as like a book movie, if you want to call it that. But anyways.
The book in Pan's Labyrinth?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
The one that jumped in my mind right now, which is kind of random, is one of the later Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's this moment where he pulls out the book because they keep talking about the Pirate's Code. So they have that book with the Pirate's Code and they pull it out. And like it's like this humongous thing. And you see them like, have to use like three people to open it up and stuff, and I remember that book and I think that's always awesome.
There's Barney's book with the rules in How I Met Your Mother.
That's TV.
I can't
Pop
believe
TV.
How did they not publish that as
they
a real thing?
They did.
Can I buy one?
Nicholas has one.
Where's Amazon?
You can buy it on Amazon. The bro code.
Yeah. You know what's funny is actually in trying to come up with movies for my top five list that we're going to talk about soon, I actually came across a website post, and the list was top 10 fake books in movies that we wish we could read, which is essentially what you just asked.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, and some of these things are great and just from awesome movies that you don't even, that I wasn't even thinking of. Like,
there's an ebook version. I need that in a hardcover.
Yeah,
so that I can smile.
All right. So they talked about A Match Made in Space, written by George McFly from Back to the Future. They talk about How I Did It by Victor Frankenstein from The Young Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. They they talk about also from a movie that we all love.
The girl from Jupiter,
Moonrise Kingdom. Like, you know, but yeah. There are definitely a lot of, like, if
and
we were to go in
Gone
there.
Girl with the Amy series, with the young Amy
series. What was it, like, Extraordinary Amy or something like that?
Amazing Amy.
Amazing Amy, yeah.
Would you guys want, like, to hear something very sad?
What?
I sat down with people, and I said, like, we were scrolling through movies, and they said, what's Moonrise Kingdom?
Ooh.
And I jumped up and down like it was fucking Christmas. Like, oh, shit, we have to watch this. Oh, my God, right, you guys have never seen this. 30 minutes in, they're like, everybody, unanimous.
Yeah.
Was like, out, I'm out. I don't want to say any more of this. I misjudged everything about you people.
I know that.
You're all monsters.
I know that feeling very well.
That's how I feel whenever I get somebody to watch Hedwig and the Angry.
But these are family members that should know better.
Yeah.
I've tried my best to expose them to what movies are supposed to be, and most of the time, even if they don't like it, they'll give it like the entire movie. This movie, though, they were like, nope,
can't make it.
Someone just grabbed the control and just hit circle line. Up and don't want to watch anymore.
Good, that's great, because then it'll just be you, Will. And you can have anything and everything that you want. I mean, what is it exactly you do want, Will, huh? What, is it Angelica? You want her? Fine, take her, she's yours. I mean, what about, is it the money? I mean, take that. I mean, that's all you seem to do these days, is take, and take.
You're petulant child. What was that? Something moved. I saw something move. Did you see something move?
Don't ask. Please don't ask me to look.
All my life I've studied these folktales, Will. And now I find one that's for real. It's not beans. It's real.
So moving on to our top five this week.
You and Douglas will enjoy this because I have to cover this.
With the Babadook, Douglas decided to ask us to do our top five storybook movies. Now I'm going to ask Douglas because it's a very vague-ish thing. And I could have taken a certain interpretation which I have for my list.
By vague, do you mean nonsensical? I don't
Douglas,
understand what he's talking
can
about.
Can you explain what a storybook movie is?
Yeah, so that I can
I'm
start
not going
it.
To because I want to see how each of you took it, because I realize if I have something in my head, which I think you took this a similar route, but I want to see what everybody came up with.
All movies have storybooks.
I didn't say top five movies with storybooks in it. That's something different.
Right, you said top five storybooks.
Yeah.
So how I interpreted this list and how you're going to hear in a lot of my picks, are movies, they have to follow this criteria,
yeah.
Right? A, the storybook has to actually be in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
B, the movie itself has to follow the story in that book.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's how I took this list to go.
Yeah.
And I've kept as closely as possible with my list to have this happen.
So my list is essentially your list. I know I have bent
the rules on a couple of them.
But absolutely. Me and you are definitely seeing eye to eye.
But I have a few alternates in case.
Yeah, me too.
And we'll see how the arguments go when we hear some of these bendings.
Absolutely.
So Damien, do you want to start?
Guys, like, I just picked five movies based on books.
Okay.
Okay. My number five is Devil Wears Prada.
How is that on a top anything? I mean, I know you
I love that movie.
I remember the time watching it and hating it.
Okay.
I
remember everyone else calling you a grumpy.
I remember a lot of ladies like doing that.
I grew up
in
a lot.
That wasn't that. I don't know. For me, that wasn't a, anyway.
I still love that movie.
So
though.
I'm
I
just
don't
going
care
to.
What you see.
I'm going to be a bad person right now,
mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to
grab
take
up.
Movies
you're
from Andrew because I know there are certain movies that just fit so well that we have to both have them on our list. And number five for me is The Princess Bride, which really should be way high up on that list. I love The Princess Bride to death. One of the few Cary Elwes movies that are good. Rob Reiner is fantastic as the director. He knows how to do comedy so well, especially that type and that sort of era of comedy. It's just, it's marvelous.
So my number five, and I did not have The Princess Bride on my list. If you guys don't realize this, when we do lists like this, mm-hmm. and I can see that the list is short, mm-hmm. especially with some of these, and I know some of you guys are going to name them,
yeah.
I just shitty movies, leave it off my list. Yeah. I'm like, it's going to come up anyways.
Okay. You're like, I'm better than them.
I'm better than you all. My number five, for this list, one of the easiest ways to go is to go down the realm of Disney.
Yeah, absolutely.
Disney is an industry. Throughout all of their classic animated films, a lot of them start
Once upon a time,
and a lot of them you actually get to see
yep.
them opening the book
and then turning the pages. And yeah, absolutely.
My number five is one of my favorite classic Disney movies, which I actually don't think we've talked about much on this podcast, and that's The Jungle Book.
Right? That's because I don't like
it. I adore The Jungle Book. I love.
Is that because it's a musical?
That's because it's boring.
Okay.
The bare necessities, guys.
Yeah.
I like that song. Still don't like that one.
So, Damian, mm-hmm. your pick.
My number four is The Shining. by the Hot Boys.
Wow. Okay. Well, my number four is a movie I kind of assumed Damian would take.
I would if the list made sense.
If he was going along this path, my number five is The Hobbits.
That's on my list, and I have a big question mark over it because while there's a book,
uh-huh.
right? Because you see him, like in the Lord of the Rings, you see him writing the book,
uh-huh.
right?
You see him in the beginning of the first one, too.
Yeah.
And he even reads from his book as well.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the Lord of the Rings, when you start with the Lord of the Rings, yeah. there he's writing the book of the Hobbits.
Right.
Right? So the movie you're seeing isn't what that book is.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember, because of course I haven't seen the Hobbits.
Technically, you could have called the third movie, because that's when Frodo now starts writing
yeah.
that book.
I had a question mark over it. Like, it was one of those where I'm like, I don't know if I want to use this one. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first Hobbit movie works because he opens the book and he's writing about the Hobbit times, about that.
The
Hobbit book.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I knew
yeah.
they had that opening scene where
yeah.
you see looks like Lord of the Rings time.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember. I couldn't remember if you saw him like open the book.
I believe you do. And maybe I'm wrong because I didn't actually like go back and watch the movie to make sure, but I believe you do.
Mm-hmm. Is it my pick?
Yeah, your pick.
My number four, and this one... This one, I don't know if we're going to argue over this. My number four is a movie that if Douglas doesn't have on his list, he will hate himself for not having it.
Uh-huh.
And this is The Evil Dead Army of Darkness.
You know,
right?
I thought of putting it on my list.
In The Evil Dead, they reference the Necronomicon.
Well,
right?
Technically, the Necronomicon is in all of
right,
those movies.
Right. But more specifically,
uh-huh.
Army of Darkness,
uh-huh.
if I remember correctly, the old wizard man talks about the man who was foreseen in the Necronomicon,
yeah.
which turns out to be Bruce Campbell in
yeah.
that movie.
Old wizard man.
And I'm taking that.
Oh, I love that movie.
Storybook
movie. Love
old
that
wizard man.
Oh, you sound like you're making up the next Bob Dylan song.
I'm going to punch you in the face. My number three is Fight Club. It was based on a book. No, look, next time, be specific.
Listen, me and Andrew got it, right?
Yeah, because you both live together. We're both the same type of video.
We're both crazy.
Anyway.
Top five storybook book. Think
yep.
about what you
yep.
said.
Yep.
Right, I'm going to... Okay, Google.
I could have accepted movies that are so
define
that end so nicely
storybook.
That you consider storybook, like, to have a storybook ending. I could have considered that, but Damian, you just went too wide. But I'm letting you have it. So for my number three,
search?
No. So for my
just
number
said,
three,
he just said it. Like the text that came up is like define, and then there's like every time we kept talking, it kept changing the word, and then it's like Facebook? And then just kept flashing, and it's like, we can't find
it. Speaking of which, number three is Facebook. No, it's not. My number three, I went...
A book of faces.
I went to Andrew's tried and true Disney rule, except it wasn't Disney. But I had to put in a movie like this. There was no way. So there's a lot of movies...
followed the Disney rule, except where you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So there are a lot of movies I could have put in. One that was really right there on the cusp was Robin Hood. From Disney, the fox as Robin Hood. That was great. I love that one. But I didn't put it on here. What I did put on here, though, was a grand story about an ogre and his talking donkey. And that is Shrek. And that movie starts exactly...
That one has the book.
Yeah, it has the book. And it has, you know, Once Upon a Time. And it's everything. It's great.
Part of me remembers liking Shrek.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's been so long since I've seen any of them.
Yeah.
That at this point, whenever I hear Shrek,
you think of the recent ones have painted everything.
But listen, in just
I watch a piece of Shrek
as bad.
Maybe a couple of years ago, and I realized that this has to be the greatest movie ever because it is a children's movie. That tries to introduce children to Tom Waits. How can you not love that movie? Tom Waits is in that movie. He's singing, I think it's Underground. I can't remember which song it is. But he's singing in there, and it's great.
So, of course.
Of course.
So, my number three, a movie I assume Douglas would have stolen by now.
Mm-hmm.
A movie we watched a lot as children.
Okay.
It's The Neverending Story.
That's an alternate for me, kind of.
In which a child... is thrown into a world after reading a book and the pages disappear.
Yeah.
And there is a flying dog
and
rock monsters and craziness.
Okay, so you are taking the movie that I want to take, except you didn't take it. Because that, my friend, is The Neverending Story Part 2.
Which is what
we all watched. What we watched a lot, and which is the one specifically that's on my list. The Neverending Story 1, which I'm sure both have eventually watched, is nowhere near as good in my mind, just probably because of nostalgia goggles, as the second movie. Because it's just him reading the book about the boy that looks, he's supposed to be like almost American Indian kind of, and he's running around trying to save somebody. I can't remember, it's been a long time. But that movie for me sucked ass. But the second movie that was probably horrible was the greatest.
Because they were flying dogs.
Exactly. And I think Jack Black is in that movie.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Damien?
Did you see them at the wrong time?
Probably. Oh, I was about 7. I was already too old to watch that.
Is
it my turn?
Yes.
Die Hard.
Was Die Hard a book?
According to the internet.
I'm not even going to question this at this point. Anyway, now I've
John
come
McClane
to...
John McClane shoots.
Okay, Google.
Shut up.
Is Die Hard a book?
I've come to my top two, where I've started to bend the rules a little bit. My top one, I did not bend the rules, but I feel nobody's going to have this, but you're going to hate me when you realize that you should have had it. Mm-hmm. But my number two is yet another movie that he'll hate me for because he loves it so much. And I like this movie a lot, too. And I don't think it breaks the rules as much as it bends them. And even it doesn't really bend them. It just bends the light around the rules. Is a movie starring Will Ferrell. And I think it's Emma Thompson. I can never remember my Emmas. Stranger Than Fiction.
I love that movie.
I actually did not remember that movie. Holy shit.
And that for me was like the perfect. Exactly. It's the perfect way. But it doesn't start off with Once Upon a Time. And technically, you only see the book in its raw form.
Little
of,
did he know.
Yeah, you know. I don't love that movie, but it's a creditable it's a creditable performance. I really did.
I think you should check it out again.
Andrew, I've watched that movie so many times. It's one of those movies where I should like it more based on the number of times that I've watched. But it's not like I don't like it, and it's not like I think it's average. It absolutely goes on the good side of the scale for me. Just not like this is the greatest movie ever.
So, like you, Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
This is the pick in which I bend the rule a little bit. Right? And I start to take a lot of interpretation about our list. If it is a list in which it requires that the story be the book exists in the story,
uh-huh.
and the movie itself be an embodiment of the story we're hearing, this movie only lacks in the fact that there's no physical book. At okay. least we don't see one.
Okay.
Right? Even though they reference it. And we actually get to hear the story mm-hmm. that the movie overall is embodying. And it's one of my favorite movies made by one of my favorite directors.
Shit, I think this is my number
and it's
one.
The Django Unchained.
Oh, nice.
As
oh,
he tells
goodness.
Jamie Foxx Ooh. About the story of Brumhilda.
Oh.
Who the warrior has to go up the mountain.
So I thought you were going to steal my movie, and you didn't, and I thank you for that. And I definitely did not think of Django in that way, but you're kind of right, even though I disagree with you, because that is not a storybook movie. That is a storybook within a movie that is a metaphor for the movie itself. So fuck you.
I think it works. I'm going with it. David is just ignoring our craziness. Like, this is the moment where David goes, I'm never doing this again.
Is it my turn?
It
yes.
is your turn.
What number am I picking?
You're picking number two, I think.
Yeah.
No, you're picking number one because
we're
you started.
Ones,
yeah.
Okay. My number one movie is Ruby Sparks. Because no, it isn't. See, once again, we've done a list where this movie could have been on the list. None of you fuckers. Not even once. You didn't even think about
you
it.
You realize that
but
I still
you
have
guys,
a number one.
You can't, you're not right? picking Ruby Sparks. I can bet you $1 billion you're not. Yet again, you guys are like, no, I love this movie that I've never thought
that
about
movie,
again.
That movie's so
you guys
good though. It's
both
so
hate
good.
That movie.
I love
you guys
that movie.
Don't like a jack shit about that movie. Right? Yet argue with me for hours. No, Damien. You're so wrong. I love this movie. Do any of you own the Blu-ray?
No.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't.
I just watched The Raid 2 for the third time last
night. You're an asshole. Number one movie,
a
The
kitchen.
Godfather. The fuck is
that? A kitchen fight scene, guys.
So my number one movie, unless I've stolen it from Andrew because it's his number one, he's going to hate me for life for not thinking
if you
of
have this. If you have my number one on your list, then I'm going to punch you because you don't like that movie.
Okay, cool. So,
oh, so Ruby Sparks.
Well, the thing
is
about
your number
is,
one movie?
I think this is a lose-lose situation for me. Because I think you love this movie so much that you will punch me anyway for not thinking about it. And it is, yet again, a movie that we all love. A movie by one of your favorite directors. Which is why when you started describing your last movie, I was like, oh boy.
Kerry Fukunaga.
Taking my movie. It stars a lot of people that we love.
Claude Atlas.
Ed Norton is in it.
So it's not Claude Atlas.
Harvey Keitel is in it.
The Incredible Hulk.
Ralph Fiennes is in it. It is a movie
is
by
the
name
where
of
sick?
The Grand Budapest Hotel, which actually starts off.
That's your
with
number
book.
One.
Yes, they have
it
the book.
It starts off.
Hold on, I had to go to Wikipedia for this because I remembered it, but it was too vague for
She's
me to remember.
The book in front
yes,
of the statue.
In the present,
oh.
a teenage girl approaches a monument to a writer in a cemetery. In her arms is a memoir penned by a character known only as the author, who is played by Tom Wilkinson. Yet another favorite actor of Andrew's. She starts reading a chapter from the book, and the author begins narrating. And so
you could have used
we go,
like 80% of Wes Anderson's movies.
No. Wes Anderson uses narration,
and
but they're not
chaptering.
Yes, he does, but they're not like from a book. This, I think, was the only one that is officially right. from a book. I thought of the Royal Tenenbaums, but it's not.
The Royal Tenenbaums I would fight for, because like it's so detailed.
It is,
but, chaptering.
But it still never references a book. It's just a very detailed narration.
I'm going to watch that movie again now, and I think if I remember correctly, there's a point late in the movie where they're like, I'm going to write this as a book.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so perhaps, but and maybe you could have swayed me on that, but... No.
But my number one is a movie you hate, and
uh-huh.
I haven't talked about for a while.
Uh-huh.
It's The Fountain.
Oh, I saw
because
that on lists, and I was like, I hate that movie. Hate it.
Because
yeah, there was
a movie about the three stories, the conquistador, the
mm-hmm.
current time cancer, and the flying into space.
Mm-hmm.
In the current time storyline, the wife is writing a book about the conquistador,
mm-hmm.
which occurs in the movie. And while it isn't the entire movie, all of those stories literally are the same, just put over
this
one another.
Is this stupid list?
So I just wanted to let you know what my alternates were.
Of course.
What my almost made it were.
Can't wait.
And they absolutely bend the rules. So the first one doesn't bend a rule at all. It is your never ending story part two, right? Mm-hmm. The second one bends it a little bit. Actually quite a bit. And that is a movie by the name, and I actually really like this movie, as much as it's kind of just a normal movie, of Secondhand Lions. And I love the shenanigans.
Yeah, I like that movie.
That movie's great.
I don't think I ever saw
that old Disney movie.
No, it's not, but it could easily have been.
I
know you've seen it because we watched it together all sorts of times.
I just can't remember all of it. The kid in that movie.
He got fat. Some
big
he was young. And then
I know he's like,
he's
seen
in a, like an Amazon show
in the
now.
New Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he's. I think he probably went to school somewhere and then is now trying to get back his whatever. I don't know. But yeah, I saw him in an interview now and apparently he's in one of the Amazon shows.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Secondhand Lions. And technically there is no book, but there is a narrator who is the boy who has grown up, who is now writing a comic strip. And you see the comic strip in the end. So I'm taking that to be as bookified as possible, right?
Sure, that's a word.
And then my last alternate, which this doesn't even bend the rule, this just breaks it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, shenanigans. Again, you know, for me is based on stories. And he lives, the movie is essentially him living a story just like the ones that are spoken of him. And stories are spoken of him many times in this movie. And Andrew, how could I not include a Terry G movie on my list? It is The Great, The Wonderful, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. And I love that movie. But and it kind of fits the trope. But technically, I don't think there's a book. I think it's just spoken stories. And it starts with a play about his adventures. So, like, it's very much not even really on the fence. It's kind of falling off the fence on the other side, but
this was a hard list. This was a list where, like, the internet wasn't very helpful.
Yeah.
I had to spend time thinking about them. Like, some of the ones you came up with, obviously, was mainly because, unlike a lot of our lists where mm-hmm. we can do a little internet research to kind of fill in anything that comes to mind, this one is out there.
I just didn't know what the hell he meant in the storybook.
That's when the question, what do you mean,
reply comes. Yeah, to Douglas, though. What do you think? Do you think anything Douglas would reply would have helped me?
I would have replied. And
it's not your list. His list.
Douglas
would have written something back and I just thought, you know what? I'm never talking to these guys.
The few alternates I had, one was The Princess Bride, which you took.
Yeah.
The Book of Life. Which was, it was just me spitballing.
Yeah. Well, like it's an alright movie. Yeah,
it's more indicative of what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. To keep in Disney, there's A Sword in the Stone.
Yes.
Which I recently rewatched, and I still like that movie.
Oh, that movie's great.
And a movie I haven't seen in forever, which I think I mentioned to you offhandedly when I was doing this list in my head, The Pagemaster.
Yes. That is the name of the movie. I saw it on one of the lists I was looking through. Macaulay Culkin and Christopher Lloyd. Oh my goodness. That
Culkin.
Was, oh wow.
That movie was bad though.
I'm sure it was. I barely remember it. I remember some animation.
Yep.
And like books talking.
He essentially like, oh my goodness, I'm remembering now. So he like goes into a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the book at least involves Moby Dick. And somehow.
Yes, there's a whale in there at some point.
And somehow the cartoon characters that help him are cartoon characters of books.
Yes.
I now remember this.
How, and there's like a pirate insane, book.
How
with
inane
like a
is
sword.
That? Yeah. Oh, this makes so little sense.
But we were children.
Yes, we were.
That was the best.
Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin, yes.
Do you remember he had a TV show that was a cartoon with a magic baseball mitt?
I do not remember that one.
Oh,
I'm sorry. That's
it was
from
it
memory.
Was around the time when John Candy had his own cartoon show called Camp Candy.
I remember that one. But anyways, I think it's time we sign off. As always, you can hear the podcast over at gmarinreviews.com. Douglas, he's on Twitter at DJR lost his name. I don't know what he does anymore. He's just kind of there.
Yeah, you know, I listen to music. I post the music what I listen to. I post pictures of the albums and I post YouTube videos of the music videos. That's all I do now.
Damon is just ignoring Twitter, as he should be, I guess.
Guys, I tried.
By the way, I found a great Twitter app. A great Twitter app.
That's and terrific. I'm on Twitter.
If I was ever going to use Twitter again.
Talking about movies.
Phoenix. Yeah, I've heard about it. But I'm like... I'm
anyways, on. Thanks for listening and good night.
Good night! Take a straight and stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the White Queen run so fast. She hasn't got...